You're listening to Dine to Learn More with Trevor and Laura. Dine to Learn More is where we talk about death and bereavement to deepen our understanding of this inevitable part of life.
This is the Dying to Learn More podcast, and I am Trevor Josephson.
And I'm Laura Salimian. This is part two of a guest we have whose name is Brian, and we are also joined by our colleague, Counselor Lee.
Hi.
Welcome, Lee and
welcome,
Brian.
Welcome, Lee. Welcome, Brian.
Welcome.
Thank you for having us back. So we'll jump in from our previous session where Brian talked about being at the hospital and his diagnosis and prognosis. And it's important to specify that Brian's here with us because he's no longer in hospice. Mm-hmm. So that's an important part of the story.
And a unique story.
Yes, why his story is significant. And we're going to start by when I met Brian at hospice, which was in June. So we're going to touch on meeting me at Melville when we met and what that experience was like for Brian when he entered Melville from the hospital.
Well, I got into Melville, literally rolled in the door. They rolled me in the door in a wheelchair, and once again, they gave me a very, very short period of time to live. They'd given me something like 3 weeks to 3 months time period. And I wasn't going to accept that. I wasn't going to just sit back and let it just happen to me. And Lee came into my life and offered some pretty positive thoughts and opened up another world of thinking that gave me an opportunity to sit back and just kind of look at the situation and be positive and not accept what was going on and not just let it happen. Her words were all from a point of view that was knowledge and not just guessing, not just assuming. They made a difference, and they made a big difference, and they're worth listening to. And even though it's only maybe a one hour session, I was always begging for more time with her. I was asking, you know, can you see me again tomorrow or come in the next day or whatever, because the conversations were always enlightening, always, you know, good information, good solid educated, you know, deep conversations.
Well, that's the benefit that counselors can bring is helping you see connections in your thoughts to a better understanding of yourself.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that's what I needed. I needed that the most at that time period. And the power of positive is what, you know, I experienced.
Okay. That's what you needed. What was on the other side of that? Like, what was keeping you from getting that?
Yeah, just the fact that I was put in a place to go and die. Mm-hmm. That's what everybody figured I was going to do. I was just going to go there and die. And that's not my plan. That wasn't my plan.
Yeah, that's the story that was being written for you.
That's right.
It's not that was the one you wanted.
No, that's not the story. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to learn how to walk again. I had to go from the wheelchair to a walker, and eventually got rid of the walker and started walking on my own. I would go for walks around the block, and Lee would take me for walks, and we'd get outside, enjoy the sun, and my wife would take me down to the beach, and we'd watch the sunsets, and all that power, the power of just the natural life, just the things that you walk past that don't pay any attention to, that bring you calmness. They bring you like a security in the day that, okay, this day is over, and then in another place the day is just beginning. You know, that sunset was so important. It became so important to me to see the sunset on the end of the day, because I knew that I could draw a conclusion. What did I accomplish today? What did I feel today? What did I learn? What positive did I take from this day?
Wow, that's amazing. I'm just so moved by what you're talking about here, Brian, and sharing this experience. I mean, it really helps us to all appreciate it, you know, every day that we have of life, and even the most simplest things.
Absolutely. And it's the simple things that we walk by and don't even see. I mean, literally, I love to walk up to a tree now and put my hand on the tree and just stand there and ground out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I look up at the tree and I say, well, the roots are at least as far in the ground as the tree is above the ground. Mm-hmm. And I get my hands on there, and people look at me, my neighbors are looking at me, and they're thinking, you know, what's this guy doing out there? It's raining, and he's standing there holding on to a tree, and what's he doing? But I feel it. I feel it. Mm-hmm. I do. I honestly do feel it. I feel something go through my system, and I feel it like a rush, like a bonding with the earth, a moment of... I can't say whether it's a God or I can't say whether it's a creation, but what I can say is it's there. It's there for the taking. Mm-hmm. It's there for you to enjoy. It's there for you to open yourself up to it.
Well, why don't we do that? Why do some of us, most of us perhaps, don't avail ourselves of that opportunity?
Because they're afraid to be mocked. You're afraid to be made somebody look at you and say, what's the matter with you? You're silly.
Yeah.
You know, what are you hugging a tree for?
I mean, believing in that stuff.
And it's like the moments I spent with my dog. If I just sit there and look in his eyes, and he looks in my eyes, and he's living with me right there, right in that moment. And it doesn't matter whether I'm sitting on the couch, he's going, grab a toy, grab your bone, whatever, and come back and show it to me, and just have a moment together. And these are the simplest things that draw me forward through the day, that bring me in a sense of accomplishment, a communication.
Mm. Well, we had spoken before about how you lost that sense of yourself. You lost
absolutely.
That connection, and you didn't know who you were and what was happening. And then it sounds like you found a way to connect back.
Well, right? it's the strength of the counseling. It's the strength of the people that I was surrounded by. It's their positive, their outlook. It's what they have to offer you. You can't turn it down. You've got to take it and listen to it. And yeah, you're gonna, you know, maybe not believe, or you know, you don't have to think there's a God, but there's a reason. There's a reason for everything. There's a reason for certain things happening. There's a reason that you meet somebody in a given situation. There's a reason for everything.
Mm. Wow. Very powerful. So you're in hospice. What was your time in hospice like?
I spent
in a place other people have the same prognosis as you.
Yes.
What was that like?
Most of the people I was surrounded by were all passing with cancer. The cancer was taken their life, and during the time I was there, I became quite friendly with just about everybody I could meet. Family of people that were passing away, wives, brothers. You know, sisters, daughters, you know, all that. I would make a point of saying hello to them, make a point of talking to them, make a point of meeting who they were seeing in the hospital. I was almost felt like their own little guy at the door, opening the door and ushering them in. Come into my home. This is my home now.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and I spent 7 months there. And I I did make a few mistakes by getting too close to some of the individuals, but I didn't make many of those mistakes. I met a gentleman, kindled a friendship with him that I would never ever throw away never ever forget. And he was in pretty tough shape. He was in pretty bad condition, and I got him smiling and laughing, and we had good time outside smoking cigarettes and carrying on, and that's what we did, you know, and we had fun, you know. I gave him some fun in the last.
Fun in a hospice?
In a hospice.
Did I just hear that?
Yeah. Yeah. And
people
it was,
are surprised to hear that.
You know, yeah. He lost one of his legs, and I bought him a pair of slippers, he laughed so hard because he only had one foot, of course, and I put that slipper on his foot, and he laughed and smiled and laughed and smiled, and right up until the day he passed away, he was one happy camper.
Right.
Well, I think that's a surprising thing for people to think about, is if you're open to it, you can meet new people, make friendships at any point in your life.
Yes, and you can't turn away from it. Because everybody has something to offer. Everybody has something to offer you. I now will walk up to somebody even in London Drugs and start talking to them, just for whatever, you know. Oh, is that nail polish your color? You know, I don't know. You know, something silly. You know, just to start a conversation, just to make a moment in time that, you know, maybe leave an impression on somebody now. And that's what I try to do. I try to leave an impression on somebody that, you know, some crazy old guy in London Drugs today walked over to me and started talking to me about nail polish or something, you know. Well, why not? Yeah. You know, it was a moment in the day.
Because that's what we do. We participate in a community.
We have to
contribute to it. We receive from it. We give to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, even in the atmosphere there, I lost again people and learned what it was like to be with their families. One time, there was a gentleman there. He had a horrible cancer in his throat and neck, and I made friends with him, and we got along pretty good. And when he passed, his niece came to me and said, "I can't go in there without you." And I went, "Well, how do you know me?" She says, "Well, he told me about you, and you had made friends with him, and will you go in the room with me, and I'll see him for the last time." And I escorted her into the room, and I was also honored that they would ask me to escort them into a situation, be their company, to, you know, escort them into that situation and spend their last moments with their uncle or brother-in-law or whoever he was to them.
That's really powerful.
Mm-hmm. I was honored. It was an honor. Mm-hmm. I felt, you know, what greater thing could somebody ask of me?
Yeah.
Well, must be a testament to who you are. A lot of people who might enter hospice are, you know, like you, facing your own, thinking of your own, you have your family, but yet you're taking the time to help others still.
Oh, yeah. You know? If I was still there, if I was still there now, I would be doing exactly the same thing. I would be spending time with those that are there in their journey. I would. I wouldn't hesitate for a moment. I would try to spend time with them.
So for someone who's never maybe even visited someone in a hospice, certainly never been in a hospice themselves as a resident, as you were for 7 months, what is it like? Can you describe it generally speaking?
It's a friendly atmosphere. The nurses there spend time with you. It's a lot of one-on-one time spent with the nurses, and you know, if you don't want them around, they're not offended. They're they check on you. It's just a general easygoing time where they make life as comfortable for you as possible. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't ask for more than that. You need to have comfort and the serenity, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. A little bit. Time to yourself, maybe. Time with your family in an atmosphere that isn't rushed or aggravated by a lot of strange people hanging around, like in a hospital situation where you're in a room with four other people and all kinds of noise and people, being ignorant with each other and fighting and arguing. And I mean, I've seen it all. Yeah. I've seen it all, mm-hmm. in the hospital. And certainly that's not what takes place at a hospice. It's a friendly, happy, as you can make it, atmosphere.
And I don't know if people would use those words to describe again, hospice.
We're surprised that some people. Well, I mean,
that is how I wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. I don't know that.
Yeah, that was your experience.
I made an impression on some people that they're phoning me at home, and I've, even now, they're, we're still in contact, and they've said that I've said some things to them that have really, shook their world a little bit, and I was happy to reach into my being and pull out something either offered to me by the counseling here or something original from my own thinking. It was amazing what was given to me that if you just open your ears and listen.
Mm-hmm. You described it as your safe place at one point.
Oh, it was, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a safe place. It was where I could be normal and natural. I can't remember exactly how I put it, but it was like a sanctuary. It was like I could go to my room, I could close the door, nobody would bother me, and I could sit with my thoughts or leave the door open and volunteers would come by or people would come by and visit with me. And in the first couple of months I was there, I kept that door closed. I was so scared of everybody and everything and what was going to happen. And then I started leaving the door open and I realized that there's a whole nother world that I could have. There's a whole nother presence that I could cling to and draw from. And I did that.
What do you think it was like for your family to come and visit you at the hospice?
Well, they could see the positive that was going on. They actually kind of got to the point where I think they were almost bored coming to visit me because there I was, I was doing okay and I wasn't showing any signs of giving up anytime soon or any of that, and I was actually healing and getting better. I could walk, my hip was getting better. Good news was happening. I had an x-ray done on my hip and the cancer was we did a bone scan and the cancer was gone. There was no cancer in my hip anymore and the bone actually grew back. Wow. Which was a powerful thing to have happen to you, to actually heal beyond what anybody ever expected you to heal. Like, I mean, that's amazing. I mean, I had doctors looking at me like, this doesn't happen. The cancer doesn't disappear and the bone doesn't grow back and you're a unicorn. You're something's going on here and we don't know what it is, but don't stop doing what you're doing is what they told me. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I did, and I am. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So So, I mean, again, not that we need to keep saying this, but people go into a hospice. They're not supposed to come out of the hospice. That's not the way it's
works. No, you don't go in there and heal.
So what's going on, Brian? You completely turned that upside down.
I turned it around. Yeah. And I actually got to the point where I'd healed enough that my blood numbers were good enough that I could actually go and do more immunotherapy.
Right.
And the moment that I did that immunotherapy, that's December 1st and of 2025, and they asked me to leave.
They kicked you out.
They said, Brian, you know, you can't stay here anymore because you're too healthy. You're too well. You're going for treatment, and you know that's not what you're supposed to be doing here. You know, you're supposed to be, you know, not getting better. You're supposed to be getting worse. But I thrived.
Yeah, I'm getting a sense of that you had mixed emotions about that.
Oh, I almost refused the therapy because I didn't want to lose my safety net.
Yeah.
I didn't want to lose that because it had worked so well. I was doing so well that I didn't want to walk away from what was working, you know, because that whole scenario was what was working for me. It was exciting almost to hear, Brian, you have to go home now. You know, and it was almost like, we can't protect you from the world anymore. You have to go home. And I did.
Your experience, it's unique. It's very different. And that's why you have a very unique perspective now.
Absolutely.
That you're sharing with us.
Yeah.
I would love it if you would come back again and share some more of this story of yours, Brian. Would you like to do that?
I will be back.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming today. We so much appreciate this story that you're sharing with such an open heart.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for being open to learning more about death and grief. Stay tuned for more episodes by subscribing on our website and by following us on Instagram and Facebook.